Fantastic. Have you got your Bible? Why don't you turn to John 4? So, the title of my message is Take the Opportunity. Take the Opportunity. So, a few years back, I was into all that motivational speaking. How many people like the motivational? So I really liked it. So I read this one thing about this guy who owned a business, and all his salespeople just never seemed to get out and do their sales until about sort of 10:30, 11 o'clock every day, and he was getting really frustrated with them. So he made this new rule that everybody had to come in at 9 o'clock, and for 5 minutes, they would chant, "Do it now, do it now, do it now." For 5 minutes, they would chant, "Do it now." Everybody say it. Do it now, do it now, do it now. For 5 minutes, he did that. Got them to chant it. Do you know that his productivity doubled? Because all these people would be sitting there just thinking, and suddenly they'd hear in their head, "Do it now!" And they'd jump up and they got motivated to take the opportunities. And this morning, I've just got one thing that I want to get into your... You know how the... Try it. Just while I say it. Just try it. I tried it for about a week. And man, does it work. You're just sitting there, you know, not doing anything, and suddenly you hear in the back of your head, "Do it now!" Okay, don't... Especially if you're a little bit of a procrastinator. How many people here are a little bit of a procrastinator? That's me. Not my wife. My goodness. I'm trying to say, slow down. Sorry, darling. She always listens to the podcast, so I've got to be very careful what I say. So, today I want you to think about taking the opportunity. Taking the opportunity. Take the opportunity. The opportunity of a lifetime comes around once a month, I think. I think there's always opportunity, but we've got to take the opportunity. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit here today. Lord, I thank you for each person here, Lord, that you have put here for today. Lord, you've put them where they are in their life for such a time as this. And so, Father, I pray that you would speak to them, touch them, fill them with your Holy Spirit. Father, if anyone here is just feeling a little bit down or a little bit lonely, Lord, I pray that they would know your closeness this morning. They'd know your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So in John 4, verse 1, we have the story of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman. And I'm just going to do a little bit of a read through each bit and then have a little bit of a chat about each bit. How do you like that? Just something different. You've got to do something different every now. I've got no PowerPoint, so you can't get distracted. And let's just see where we go. So, in verse 1, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. Isn't that interesting? He knew what the Pharisees were starting to think, and it affected what he went and did. And so I'm reading from the New Living. Verse 3, so he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's funny spelling, isn't it? Near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please, can you give me a drink?" He was alone at the time because the disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. Isn't it amazing here that one little question changed the course of this lady's life? One little question, one little thing, just a little thing had an amazing opportunity to change this life. She would never have known Jesus if she hadn't have been just there at the right time in the right place. Do you know, I believe God brings to all of us people at just the right time, at just the right place. all the time. You know, I say the opportunity of a lifetime comes around once a month. I think the opportunity to talk to somebody comes around every day. There's an opportunity. And you know, this is a life-altering conversation for this woman. And, you know, I wonder how many times we've sat down in a situation and someone's come along and we've just missed that opportunity for us to connect with them. And so my title is, take the opportunity. Take the opportunity. Over the next 6 weeks, you're going to have some amazing opportunities. I don't know what it is about this season, but I feel that this season has more opportunities than other seasons. It's that season where you're not in a rush and other people are not necessarily in a rush once they've got their Christmas presents. How many people have actually already done their Christmas shopping? Put your hand up. Let's give these people a hand. They're amazing. And all you people that are procrastinating, come on. Come on.
Do it now.
Do it now. Yes. Okay. Jesus was weary. He was tired. He probably didn't want to talk. Yet, this was an opportunity that wasn't to be missed. You know, it's often at the most inconvenient time that God goes, talk to that person. You know, you're going, oh, I don't know if I want to. I don't know if any of you remember Pastor Don McDonnell telling us about he got on a plane. It's about 2 or 3 years ago. He got on a plane and he'd just been asked to go to Sydney to speak at this conference, and they just told him, hey, look, the other speaker's not coming, so you need to do more messages. And he was going, oh, yeah, okay. And so he got on the plane, and he got this upgrade, which was really good. And he thought, great, I'll be able to just get into some study. And, you know, and he got his sort of study face on and you know, got in there and got in his seat. And basically, as quick as he could, got down to, you know, trying to work on doing his sermon, some sermons. And right in the middle of it, he can hear this lady sniveling. And he's thinking, oh, man, I don't have time for a snivelling lady. He can hear this lady snivelling, and he sort of looks over, and there's this lady about 80, 85 sitting there snivelling, and he thinks, it's not my problem. It's not my problem. I just want to get on with what I'm doing here. So he's trying to concentrate there, getting on with what he's doing. And this lady starts even crying, and he's going, oh, my goodness. And finally he goes, what's wrong with you? And the way he said it was kind of not that excited or friendly about it. What's wrong with you? And she goes, it's you. He goes, what have I done? What do you mean it's me? She says, I haven't felt like this since I was 8 years old and I was in a Sunday school class with my Sunday school teacher, and I felt the presence of God. And ever since you sat down at that seat, I've felt it. What is it? And he went on to lead this 85-year-old lady to the Lord. Right there, right then. And she didn't send him an email. She wrote him a letter to say that, you know, it was her grandmother that took her to church or something, and now she's taking her grandchildren to church. And that opportunity was there. I don't know what it is about Pastor Don McDonnell. I don't think he's any different than any of us, but he's always looking for opportunities. Are you looking for opportunities? Take the opportunity. every time you meet someone, every time you have some sort of interaction with somebody, you have an opportunity. And they are divinely put in front of you and divinely put next to you. They are there every single conversation. I don't think there's no wasted conversations. None. It could be a handshake. It could be a smile. You know how much I like smiles. I think smiles connect people. You could be the person that just makes the day for someone, that opens them up. I'm convinced that I can talk to anybody, and I'm always trying. You do get the odd person that, you know, just sort of gives you the evils as you try to, you know, say hello. But I think we can talk and communicate with everyone. And you know, this whole thing of letting the love of God flow out of you. There has got to be a difference between us. There's got to be a light that's shining on us. and that makes people go, there's something different about you. Take the opportunity. Verse 9, the woman was surprised, for the Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew, I am a Samaritan. Why are you asking me for a drink? You know, I find people are genuinely surprised when I start chatting to them. They don't expect it. They don't expect you to suddenly start talking to them. They're sort of, And suddenly they're surprised. But if you are genuinely interested in people, they will talk. They will talk. You know, they would. I'm usually make a joke, usually about myself. I don't joke about them because that doesn't go down very well. But I'll make something, or I'll try and just get them to smile, and suddenly they're connected. Or I'll make some comment about something that's happening, or, you know, something about the service, or usually a nice thing, I think. But we'll try and do something to just connect with them. And I'm always surprised how much people actually do want to talk. Because, you know, we know the statistics say that most people are lonely. Most people in our world are lonely. They don't have anybody that talks. They don't have anybody that looks at them and makes them feel better when they talk, that looks at them with real interest. Even though a lot of times the people in their family, they never get to have someone saying, how are you? What's going on in your world? And you have that light shining. You have that power of God emanating in, through you. And you just need to talk to someone. You have the opportunity. Look, I find most people want to talk. In fact, some people, you can't even stop them once they get going. They want to talk. They want to chat. I'm blown away. I go for walks around our neighborhood. And, you know, and the people in their garden, they want you to go past. And I go past and go, man, that's looking good. You've done a great job. Oh, yeah, and away they go. Yeah, that's cool. And so it's an excuse for a rest because I'm tired. But people want to talk. People are busy, but they still want to talk. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew, I am a Samaritan. Why are you asking me for a drink? And Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. Do you know that the people that you meet are people that God has a gift for? They're people that God has a gift for. People don't know that God's got a gift for them. People got no idea that God loves them. People have got no idea. You know, one of the things that fascinates me is in the church, one of the favorite scriptures, and it may be your favorite scripture, is I know God has a plan for my life. No, Jeremiah. People know, and here is it. Jesus replied to her, if you only knew the gift God has for you, do you realize that every person you meet, that God has a gift for them? Are you overwhelmed by the fact that God has a gift for them, for their future, a hope for them? Because they don't know. They don't know. I know we get, you know, one of our problems is we get tied up in our own lives so much that we're so excited about our gifts. Oh, God's got a gift for me. But God's got a gift for every person that you meet. God wants them to know that they have a future and a hope. And Jesus is saying, you know, lady, if you only knew the gift God has for you. And I think sometimes it's us that need to get a revelation of the gift God has for people. If only they knew. They only knew that they could have a different life. If only they knew that Jesus would wants to be their friend. If only they knew that they could have the power of God working in them and through them. If only they knew that they could have a future and a hope. And the only way they're going to know is that if you or me say something. There is the odd case where someone has a road to Damascus experience. But how many people had a road to Damascus experience? Put your hand up. Yeah. So they one out of us all. Most of us had someone say something to us. In fact, most of us probably had 10 or 20 people say something to us along the way. You're that person that's to say something to someone. Take the opportunity. You know, Jesus looked at this woman and went, if only you knew God's plan for you. If only you knew. And suddenly felt this responsibility. I need to make sure you know that God has a plan for your life. Do you look at people with a longing desire for them to know God's plan for their life? Does it move you? Or are we too stuck in our own world, stuck in our own social media world, stuck in our own world that we don't see the need for people to know Jesus? I'm so sort of challenged in the last year because my dad suddenly got into reading a whole lot of things about heaven and hell. So he gives them to me. And Joanne. Joanne gets them as well. Some of them I read, some of them I'm too scared to read. But the realities of that place on some of the visions and dreams that people had, you just start taking a step backwards going, my goodness, I wouldn't want anyone to go there. I wouldn't want anyone to go there. Not even the worst person. I wouldn't have wanted Hitler to go there. As nasty and as horrible as what I go, there is nobody I would want to go to hell. And we live here saved, going, thank you, God, that you've saved me. Oh, we live in this beautiful country. We've got so much going for us. But not everybody has that. And the reality is that the person that you're meeting and talking to just over this next 6 weeks, they may not know Christ. What happens if they die? Do you have a longing that people would know the God that loves them? Do you have that longing? Does it move you? Does it do something to you when you see someone that's broken and hurt and you see someone who doesn't know Christ? Verse 11, but sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think that you are greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? Yes, he does, actually, he is. He is, but he doesn't answer. He's very, very, very humble. He could have said, yeah, I am. But anyhow, okay. He's not us, is he? We would have told them. We would have shown them. Hey, yeah. How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Here's my question for you. Do you have that? Do you have a fresh, bubbling spring within you? Because I say if you haven't, you can have. And as a Christian, you should have. It should be bubbling within you, that life. What's happened to your spring if it's not bubbling? What's happening? One of the things, and I've used this illustration quite often, is that when they wanted to stop an enemy, if you had an enemy and they had water, because water was very precious, to stop them and to cause them to have all sorts of trouble, they would throw a dead animal into a well. And that well would become poisoned with this dead animal in it. And so now it would stop being pure spring of water. It might still be there, but now it's not drinkable. It doesn't refresh. Do you know, I feel there's a lot of Christians that are like that. Guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. Their heart has become bitter. Something's happened. Someone's done something, and they've got offended, and it affects their spirit, and now there's no more living water coming out. In fact, the water that comes out of them is bitter. You meet them and you go, ooh. They're trying to poison you with their negativity or with their death. You go, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And as Christians, we should be the people that people want to come and talk to because we've got life flowing out all the time. People should walk away from us going, man, I like talking to that person. Man, that makes me feel better. Man, I feel better about myself. Maybe they won't know. They may look back and go, maybe it will take them a little while, but they should receive some of our life. So true. Is your life overflowing? Yeah. Do people love being around you? A good indication, a good indication of whether the life's flowing out from you is how do children respond to you. You go, well, I don't have any time for children. I don't. But if children, they can sense it if you're full of the Holy Spirit. They can feel the love. They can feel it coming out of you. They sense it. What do people feel it? Do people love being around you? Or do they think, oh, man, here we go. I don't know whether I want to see that person again. That's going to really tire me out. All they're going to do is talk about themselves. Or all that's going to happen is I'm just going to feel, ugh. Because that's what happens. Either people come and they meet me and they go away going, man, I feel good after being with that person. Or they walk away going, oh, my goodness, I'm going to avoid them next time. And they see you down the street and they walk around the other way. Come on, do we have that life flowing out of us? And if we haven't, what's happened? What's the enemy done? How's the enemy? What's he done into your spirit, into your soul? Because we need to flow with life, living water. It should flow out of us. And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? Yes. How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I will give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Here's what I wrote. People are not satisfied. They want to be satisfied. There's a song. I don't know whether I should sing it or not. Should we give it a go? Sweet dreams are made of these. Who can I to disagree? I travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. Okay. Anyhow. How many people know that song? Heard that song? Naughty people. Everybody's looking for something. And people aren't as satisfied as they look. They're thirsty. You know, sometimes we think we look at them and they go, oh, they've got everything. I don't know if you've noticed, but the more people that have more things are the more people that are, they're the more empty people. They're the more people that aren't satisfied. They may look like they've got everything on the outside, but they're dissatisfied. Why is that? Because only God can satisfy them. Only a relation, they're made to have a relationship with the living God. You're made for it. I'm made for it. Nothing else is going to satisfy. They're hungry. They're thirsty. You know, sometimes we think they're not. Oh, you know, they don't need Jesus. Look at that person. They look happy. No. They're thirsty. They're looking. They're searching. Everybody's looking for something. Everybody. And they find it. What does the Bible say? Sin, it has a pleasure for a season. It does not last. And they're forever hunting for this and hunting for that. Oh, I found it. And it's empty. See it on people. See it. You have an answer. You have the life for them. You have what they need. You've got it. People may look like they have it all, but without Jesus, they have nothing. Without Jesus, they've got nothing. Verse 16, go get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. I bet you he had her attention now. If it hadn't been weird up until this point, now it was, oh my goodness. Do you know, I believe the power of the word of knowledge just opens people up. And I believe the gifts of God are great in the church, but they're actually more for us to use on Monday to Friday. It's a conversation with someone. When you've got something burning and you just say, mate, I know this is weird, but da-da-da-da. I know that the word of knowledge works. It just changes people. I think I've shared here a couple of times about my friend at the gym that I kept going, okay, God, what do you want me to say to him? And I had this little word with him about a business thing. And I said, you had three opportunities in front of you. And your temptation is to take the first two. And you may be right, but you need to listen to the third. And so I tell him this, and he goes, oh, my goodness. I wasn't going to bother with that third one. It's like he's going, I'm going, I don't even really know what I'm talking about, but I'm saying this. And he's going, yeah, well, why is that? Because the word of knowledge opens it up. A while ago, I said to him, look, I know this sounds weird, but I really feel you're going to reconnect with some people that you've not been an enemy with, but you've just been a little bit disconnected with, and you're going to, you know, it's going to go good. Well, I'm at the gym working away, and I've forgotten all about it. He comes running up to me. He goes, oh, mate, you remember you said about this? Well, I've just been back to England, and I just reconnected with a whole lot of old friends, and it was just amazing. I'm thinking, God's on your case. And I'll just share a little bit, and man, people are open. And here's the thing, you have the gift, the gift's there for us to use. This may sound harsh, but if we had more compassion and more love for people, then maybe we'd use it more. If we were so convinced that what we had is worth giving away, take the opportunity. Who cares if you look stupid? Oh, they need a laugh anyway. They're all laughing at you anyway, so what are you... Ask the Holy Spirit to speak through you. Listen for that small voice. Ask at the start of every day, God, give me a word for someone. I've said this a number of times. I believe God's got a word for every person all the time. If the psalm talks about this, God's thoughts to you are more than the sand on the seashore, then God's got something flowing all the time that he wants to get through. So if you can just tap in and be that, I was going to use it, is it conduit? To go, hey, here's that word for that person. Every person you're sitting next to, you can just say something. You can say, God, just give me a word. You know? And it may even be just, are you okay? Man, I know this is weird. I always say that because then people actually quite like weird, but they don't want to admit it. So if you put it out there, look, I know this is a bit strange and weird, but man, I just felt I needed to pray for you. Are you okay with that? I've never had anyone go, no. Yeah. They're curious. Yeah. There's something in their spirit that's going on. I was in Sydney last year and Tamati and I were going around the shopping centre. I start talking to the lady behind the counter and out of the blue I go, oh, have you ever been to church? We're with this church, which was Oxford Falls down there. And you should go along there sometime. And this lady looks at me and goes, wow, you're the third person that said that to me. Yeah, and you just go, you don't know. You just don't know. Come on, you can do it. Take the opportunity. Verse 19, so the woman said, you must be a prophet. Now, you look, her attention, man, he's got her attention. She's right there. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship while the Samaritans claim, yeah, I don't know about you, it sort of goes blah, 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 blah. This lady's gone blah, blah, blah. And I don't think Jesus takes the bait. You know, he doesn't want to get into a religious argument with her. He sort of answers it. But that's not the main thing. The word of knowledge has got her attention. And you know, a lot of times people just suddenly jump to some default thing. Don't take the sidetrack bait. Don't take the argument bait. Don't take the, don't lose. You just sort of go, okay, well, look, this is what I felt God say. And, you know, look, she's never going to forget this conversation. You may never meet a person again, but they will remember that conversation they had with you when you gave them a word of knowledge. They'll remember it. Verse 21, going quick now. Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. The Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Do you know, can I challenge you to at some point reveal the Messiah? At some point, say something about Jesus. Just sow the seed. Sow something. Point them to your Savior. You know, salvation is look, there's a little bit of the head into it, but most of it is about the heart. Most of it's about God moving on a person. And we're just there as a little catalyst to create that situation. You know, most of the conversations, and even my sermon today, most of it you won't remember. You'll remember little bits. Oh, thanks, Bob. Bob's taking notes, so he will remember. He'll go over those notes and have a look. The thing is that in any conversation, you only remember little bits. Hopefully you remember. Take the opportunity. Do it now. We'll be in there somewhere, because for some reason that really gets into people's heads. But you've got to remember that it's only little things that just get in. It's just little things. It's just little things that you say. It's not your big long sentences. In fact, your big long sentences and big whatevers, they don't even understand. They get lost on them. Your stories. People remember stories. They'll remember your story if you tell them quickly your story. But they'll remember little things. And they'll remember the sense of the presence of God. You know, I'm so conscious of trying to say, God, may they feel your presence. Because that just makes it go over the top, because a lot of them, they don't sense the presence of God. And all it is you and me just going, God, Holy Spirit, speak through me. Take my words. Let your love shine. You know, sometimes even in the silence, they can sense way more than in the whole lot of our words. You know, I think I've mentioned this before. My dad, a couple of years back, had a guy come to our church and say, musicians, you can come. Came and he said, oh, look, you don't remember, but you shared Jesus with me 25 years ago. He said, you said one statement that got into my head, and I could never get rid of that one statement. And so my dad started talking to him, and my dad actually did remember the conversation with this guy, because at that time we were living in Hawera, and he'd had a lot of success seeing people come to the Lord, but he was getting really annoyed because all the women were coming to the Lord, but not the husbands. And he could tell that this lady, she was ready to give her heart to Jesus, but he was so determined that he wanted both to come. So he's talking to this guy, and in the end, in frustration, he said this to the guy. He said, well, let's have a look here. You could be right, and I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, do you know what? I've had a great life. I love this life. It's been fantastic. It's better than any other life. I'm happy with it. But I could be right, and you could be wrong. And if you're wrong, you're in a lot of trouble. He reckons that guy said, I went away and I just couldn't get that out of my head. What if I'm wrong and he's right? What if I'm wrong? It's those little statements. It's those little things that you could say that would just be the seeds that the Holy Spirit takes. Nothing's lost in God. Nothing. You say a word, you say something, you just mention something, it'll change their lives. I'm going to finish reading it, because we've got to finish it, because it gets to the good part. Just then the disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask him. They must have been a bit scared, eh? What do you want with her? Or... It's a funny thing to say. None of them wanted to say, what do you want with her? And why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar, which which is an indication, man, she's just had this encounter, beside the well, and ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. Isn't it funny? He only told him a few bits, but man, she's everything. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Did someone bring him food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Do you know what? Some of you are weary and tired because you're not doing what God wants you to do. Some of us are weary and tired because we're not doing what God wants us to do. When you do what God's called you to do, you're energized. When you're doing what you're called to do, when you're sharing the gospel with people, you will be blown away with the energy that gives you. I know I'm doing the right thing because sometimes I come to church feeling a bit tired, or I go to a meeting feeling a bit tired, and I always walk out feeling quite energized and excited. Why? Because I'm doing the right thing. God feeds you. You will never have burnout or get frustrated if you're doing what God's called you to do. If you're in the right place doing the right thing, you're going to be energized. You're going to be nourished. Why? Because God feeds you. So the question is, if you're not nourished, then are you doing the right thing? Are you doing what God's called you to do, whatever that might be? Sharing Jesus makes a difference. And it'll make a difference for you as much as it makes a difference for them. I've run out of time. Here's my three little points. Have a heart for those who don't know Jesus yet. And if you haven't, go, God, please give me a heart for people. Look for opportunities. Take the opportunities. Look for opportunities and take the opportunities. Let's pray. Father, I thank